In Matthew chapter 12, the first passage is Matthew chapter 12, verses 34 and 35. Matthew 12, 34 and 35. Word of God states, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Have you ever struggled with your mouth in what to say? And maybe you struggled in just maybe saying kind words to somebody. Maybe you struggled with anger. Maybe you struggled with just foolish things coming out. And you said, I need to start working on my mouth. I just need to stop saying that. Or maybe in dealing with your children, you're dealing with words that are coming out of their mouth. And many times in dealing with our mouths, or maybe at least with myself, maybe it's not true with you, but you can approach your mouth by saying, I need to stop saying that. But when we approach our mouth, what we need to see is that there's an underlying issue. There's a bigger issue that's maybe 10 to 12 inches away from our mouth. All right, and that is our heart. When we have a problem with our mouth, we need to examine our heart. The Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man, what does it say here? Out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. Our mouths are very powerful. Turn over to James chapter 3. Our mouths are very powerful. They can be used for great good. They can be used for great evil. In fact, in Proverbs it says death and life are in the power of the tongue. It says in James 3, verse 2, it says, For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Here the Bible is speaking that if you can control your tongue, you can control anything else in your life. The tongue is a very important member of our bodies that we need to gain control of. It says in verse 3, Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths and that they may obey us. And we turn about their whole body. So you have a little bit and it turns the body of a horse. Verse 4, Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. So you can have this huge ship, but yet what turns the ship is relatively small in comparison to the entire ship. And the Bible says in verse 5, Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Our tongues are very powerful weapons that need to be brought under the control of the Holy Spirit. But what we need to realize is that there's something behind the tongue. All right, the tongue doesn't operate independently of itself. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I'd like you to turn to Proverbs chapter 10. And this is where we're going to be spending our time this evening, is in Proverbs chapter 10. For the majority of the time. Proverbs 10 and verse number 11. Proverbs 10, we're going to begin in verse number 11. It says, The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. Notice there, first of all, in verse 11, it says, The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. whose mouth is a well of life? Well, it says the mouth of a righteous man. You know, a refreshing mouth flows from a refreshing life. Somebody who has a tongue that is a well of life, the Bible states, is a righteous man. You know, somebody who is fulfilling their obligations before God and man, a righteous person, someone who is concerned with doing what is right, somebody who is concerned with pleasing God, their life can be a great blessing. You know, maybe you know people who are just, who are doing right. And if you're a person that's concerned with doing right, somebody else that's concerned with doing right can be a great blessing. And the Bible says that their mouth is a well of life. All right, a well of life. A well, when you're working, maybe it's hard to imagine a hot summer day right now, but on a hot summer day and you're out and you're working, the temperature's hot, you're sweating, you're thirsty, and you need water, you know, and somebody brings you a nice, you know, cold glass of water, it's refreshing. And the Bible says that the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. But in order to have that mouth that is a well of life, you have to have a what? The right life that backs it up. You need to be a righteous person. You know, so we don't just start going about thinking, okay, my mouth needs to be doing this. Well, we need to look at our life. And say, we need to ask ourselves, am I a righteous person? And obviously the first step in being a righteous person is to have the righteousness of Christ, is to have salvation. All right, we need to be justified. We need to be declared righteous. But then we need to have a life that is what? Growing in its conformity to Jesus Christ. You know, if we are concerned about righteousness in our life, if that's a priority, living a righteous life, living a holy life before God, guess what's going to happen? Our mouth is going to be transformed into what it ought to be. So we need to realize that your mouth is a reflection of your life. You know, it's not just rote words that make the difference, but it is the life that is behind those words. You know, sometimes somebody can make a statement that is an accurate statement, okay, but when you know their life is different from the statement that they're making, it can seem very superficial. And you know, the statement that they made may not be very refreshing, may not be that well of life. But when somebody has the righteous life that backs up what they're saying, it can make a great difference. So a refreshing mouth flows from a refreshing life. There's a well of life. There's refreshment. There is sustenance. You know, a righteous person, when you're in the room with a righteous person, the things that come out of their life, the things that come out of your mouth are going to be what? They're going to be beneficial to your spiritual life. Then I'd like to continue on. Verse number 12, it says, hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. You know, secondly, I'd like to see a loving mouth flows from a loving heart. And if you want your mouth to speak kind words, then what do you need to have in your life? Well, you need to have love in your heart. It says, a hatred stirreth up strifes. When there's hatred in your heart towards somebody, and you're with that person, what happens? Well, it's not always a very good scene, is it? You know, if there's animosity in your heart towards somebody, and maybe you get in a room, there's other people there, and that other person's there, and it can be very easy for wrong things to happen. Why? Because your heart is wrong. There's hatred in your heart, and the Bible says it stirs up strife. And so we need to examine our hearts. When there's unkind things, when there's wrong things that are said, the Bible says it's hatred that stirs up strife, but love covereth all sins. You know, love doesn't magnify the faults of others. If we go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says in verse number 4, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. You know, charity has right thoughts towards others. Here it says it thinks no evil. In this sense, it's not sitting there scheming evil plans to try to get at other people. But if you have hatred in your heart, you're going to be thinking the wrong thoughts. You're going to be, you know, rejoicing in iniquity. In 1 Peter, it talks about how, you know, love covereth the what? The multitude of sins. And do you have love in your heart? When you have love in your heart, it's not going to magnify the faults of others. When you really love somebody, it's easy to put up with maybe things that you don't personally maybe enjoy about them. Or if somebody does something wrong to you, it's maybe easier to take it. You know, think of if, you know, two people were, thinking about getting married. All right. And they, you know, we use the term, you know, they fell in love with each other. All right. Well, what if the lady was in the car and, maybe she's at, you know, maybe they're at a restaurant, okay? And, they both maybe drove separate vehicles or something to the restaurant. And as they're getting ready to leave, you know, maybe their cars are, you know, one's parked over here, one's parked over here, and the lady gets in her car, maybe he opens up the door, she gets in and closes the door. Anyway, she's backing out. And he's kind of standing in front, waving at her, and she backs up, and she backs right into his car. You know, and he just bought a brand new car. You know, what's his going to be response there? Well, if he really loves her, it's not going to be as what? As big of a deal, is it? He'd say, oh, no problem, you know, and he's really trying to impress this lady here. If it's in a completely different situation, you know, if it's already somebody that irritates you and now they back their car into your car, you're going to probably have a much different response to what took place. Hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins. You know, if we're having an issue with other people, instead of looking at the other person as the problem, maybe we need to examine our own hearts and see what is there real love, is there true love in our heart for that individual. And then I'd like, verse number 13, it says, in the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. But a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. A wise tongue flows from an understanding heart. A wise tongue flows from an understanding heart. It says, in the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. When you truly understand something, it's much easier to speak coherently about what you are speaking about. Real wisdom is in the mouth of those that have understanding. Back in First Kings chapter 12, Rehoboam had just taken over the kingship of Israel. This is when all the there was the 12 tribes together. Well, the people came to him and said, I'm just going to turn there real quickly over to 1 Kings chapter 12. And asked, you know, they asked him to make the, you know, under Solomon, things were getting very restrictive. And they said, thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father and his heavy yoke which he put upon us lighter, and we will serve thee. And he said unto them, depart yet for 3 days, then come again to me. And the people departed. And so then he goes to the older men, and he gets their counsel on what he should do. And they said, and they spake unto him, saying, if thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and wilt serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then will they be thy servants forever. All right, but it says in verse 8, but he forsook the counsel of the old men which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, and which stood before him. All right, so the young men gave them their counsel, and they said the opposite of what the old men said. Well, who did Rehoboam go with? He didn't go with the wisdom of those that had real understanding. He went with the young men. He went with those that were his peers. And what happened? Well, the kingdom was divided. And obviously it was all in God's plan. But the kingdom was divided. He followed the views of his peers. He followed the views of those that lacked understanding, and destruction came to the kingdom. And it says here, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Lacking understanding will bring you trouble. People that lack understanding and they're willing to just let their mouth go off are going to bring trouble into their life. I think it's also something that we can think about as we seek wisdom on certain subjects. You know, there's a lot of scoffers out there that like scoffing, maybe at biblical standards. And you can find a lot of scoffers out there, but they don't really understand the Word of God. They don't really understand what the Bible is teaching. And yet people will go to them to get wisdom. And guess what? They don't have it. And then they're going to base their life decisions on somebody who is void of understanding. What's going to happen? It says, a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. It ends really in destruction in your life. Verse number 14, it says, wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. A wise person is going to be building up their knowledge base. They're going to be listening. They're also not just going to be spouting off. They're going to be building up their knowledge base. It says, the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. It says in verse number 17, he that is in the way of life, he is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. All right, so part of, you know, remember it says the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. Okay, then here it says he is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. What is going to be part of that well of life that a righteous man gives with his mouth? Well, here we find it's going to be instruction, and it's going to be what? Reproof. Instruction and reproof. You know, those are two things, especially the reproof part, that our sinful nature doesn't like. You know, how many here, I mean, you don't have to raise your hands, but think about it. I mean, how many of you really like getting reproved about something? It just rubs our nature wrong when somebody reproves us. You know, and if we're not careful, we can maybe next time we're around that person, maybe try to avoid them. Okay, we don't naturally like reproof, but that's the way of life, instruction and reproof. You know, and if we want that heart of knowledge that's going to result in a mouth of wisdom, a heart of understanding that is going to result in a mouth of wisdom, well, then we need to make sure that we're building up the knowledge the understanding that's within our lives, which is going to be a result of listening to instruction and regarding reproof. Notice verse number 19. It says, "In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin." And the idea is that when there's a lot of words, there's a great opportunity for sin. In the multitude of words, there wanteth or lacketh not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Now there's much wisdom in just not speaking sometimes. Refraining your lips. It's easy, you know, there's some subject and we have to give our opinion. But sometimes it's wise just to be quiet. So thirdly, we see a wise tongue flows from an understanding heart. It says, another thing I'd like to see is that an edifying mouth flows from an edifying life. Notice what it says in verse number 21. It says, "The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom." Notice what type of people are feeding others. Notice what type of people are building others up. Well, it's a righteous person. You know, if your mouth is going to be used to edify others, then you have to have the right life. If you don't have the right life there, you're not going to have an edifying mouth. It says in verse 20, "The tongue of the just is as choice silver." All right, there's something valuable in the just, would be another word for it, would be righteous. That just person, that righteous person has, it's something valuable. But where does it begin? Well, it begins, it says, the tongue of the what? Of the just. There's a righteous life that backs up the mouth that is speaking. It says, "The heart of the wicked is little worth." Another verse I'd like to look at is verse number 18. It says, "He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool." You know, a foolish tongue flows from a problematic heart. You know, "He hideth hatred with lying lips. He that uttereth a slander is a fool." You know, if you are a fool, it's going to come out in the way you speak. And there's two particulars that are mentioned here. He that hideth hatred with lying lips. You know, lying really about your true opinion about somebody. Now, it doesn't mean you just go out and start giving your opinion of others. But we can live in a very deceitful day. And people will give a deceiving opinion about what, then they'll give something other than what they actually really think. And the Bible says if you hide hatred with lying lips, it says you're a fool. And then it says, "He that uttereth a slander is a fool." So it doesn't just mean you just go out there and you blab everything you think about everything. All right? Maybe you just need to be quiet. All right, it says, "He that uttereth a slander." Well, what is a slander? Well, it's interesting that in Numbers chapter 13, this word is used in talking about what the people said about the land. Or this, or is very similar. Numbers chapter 13. Let's begin verse 31. Well, actually, I'll begin in verse number 30. Numbers chapter 13, verse 30. It says, "And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it.' But the men that went up with him said," the 10 spies that, the 10 spies that had the wrong view, it says, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." It says, "And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying," so that evil report there, Okay, and then in Proverbs it talks about slander. They brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched under the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. So here these people brought up an evil report of the land. God wanted them to go into this land. It was a great land. But they brought up a what? A negative report about the land. And the Bible says, he that uttereth a slander is a fool. Here, these people, they should have come out of the land and encouraged the faith of these individuals, the people of Israel, to go into the land and possess it. But instead, they used their mouths to say something negative about the land, even though some of it may have been accurate. And they what? They gave the people a wrong view of this land that they were supposed to enter. And you know, a fool will use his mouth to give other people a negative opinion of somebody, of someone that they should have a positive opinion about. And what will it do? Here we have the children of Israel developed a negative opinion now about the land, and they what? They missed out on what God had for them. You know, the Bible says, he that uttereth a slander is a fool. You know, we need to be very careful about what we say about other people. You know, what we say about other people can have a very big negative impact on that person's ability to listen to someone else. You know, my dad gave the illustration on Sunday night about how he was, you know, traveling with these other guys in the car. And they were doing what? They were slandering. They were giving a negative opinion about the people in leadership at Maranatha, and he had to what? He had to stop listening to it. And what was the Bible's opinion? He that uttereth a slander is a what? Is a fool. And so we need to be very careful that what's coming out of our mouth is wisdom and understanding rather than something that's going to influence others in a negative fashion. So here we had the people that lacked faith. What did they see? They saw all the obstacles instead of seeing what God had for the land, for the people. I wonder tonight, maybe you just need to do a quick little inventory of your mouth. But you don't leave and just say, well, I need to change, I need to stop saying that. What you need to do is you need to examine your heart and you say, you know, what has gone wrong in my heart that I'm willing to say that maybe about that person? Or what's gone wrong in my heart that whenever I get around that person, there's strife? Well, maybe there's love that's lacking in my heart that needs to change. And I really need to ask God for his strength to see my heart change. You know, in Colossians 3 and verse 16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You know, what came before the singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord? It was what? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom. And if our mouths are going to be speaking the right things, well, one of the great things that can take place is allowing the Word of God to dwell richly in our hearts so that what comes from our mouth is influenced by God's Word. And so tonight, don't just think, well, I better stop saying that. Yeah, you need to stop saying that, but you need to examine what's missing in your heart that's causing your mouth to speak the things that it is speaking. Does your mouth feed many. If you're a truly righteous person, the result is going to feed. You know, is out of your mouth, is it wisdom? As people think of your life, could they say, there's a young person that, boy, that has, you know, when they say something, it means something. Or is your mouth characterized by foolishness? You know, one way as a young person is just really seeking to listen and build up the wisdom and understanding so that you can have that wise mouth. What is the condition of your heart tonight? And how is it influencing your mouth? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just pray that you would help us to have hearts that are in the right condition, Lord, so our mouths can be the powerful tool that you would want them to be, and not be used in a powerfully negative way, but Lord, that they might be under, our mouths might and lives might be under the control of the Holy Spirit, so that they can be used, Lord, in a great and powerfully positive way to influence others, Lord, to go forward for you rather than to go backwards. And Lord, we just pray tonight that you would help us to examine our hearts so that our mouths can be pleasing and honoring in your sight. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.